You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Hello, welcome to the Daily Nationalist. I'm your host, Matthew Raphael Johnson, and today is one of the holiest of days, October 18th, 2023, because it is my birthday. Nothing was ever the same again after that date. But as is often the case, as soon as I left the area with my wife last week, this happens every time I go away for any length of time, going back to 1990, when the first Iraq war started. I was on a cruise with my parents. Anytime I go away, there's a major event. Last time, my honeymoon, within a day or two, Russia invades Ukraine. So in both cases, I had to catch up, although unfortunately, in this case, there wasn't much work to do. I noticed, though, that there is a theory floating around, a theory that's promoted by people who I respect. And it's not, you know, this is too early to really come to any conclusions. Things could unravel later on. Paul Craig Roberts, in fact, suggested, and one of the first things I read on this was a retired Israeli general talking about the border fence being unmanned and breached, given the tremendous sophistication and expense of that border fence. One of the things that makes Gaza an open-air prison, like white phosphorus, makes Gaza an open-air gas chamber. White phosphorus is not illegal as a chemical weapon unless it's used in civilian areas, not on the battlefield to make a smokescreen, because the burns, both internal and external, from white phosphorus make it a chemical attack. Now, as many of you know, and I've spoken about this a few months ago, this year has been terrible for Israel. Not just the almost riots everywhere over Netanyahu's policies, and the fact that it wasn't that long ago, just a few months ago, attacking Israel over the more conservative and even Orthodox Jewish policies of his government and the extreme settler parties, the only thing that keeps him from getting out of power and hence possibly to prison, he has to follow that. That's why the small parties are always very important in Israel. Labor and Likud are always maybe 50-50. So whoever controls the extreme parties is going to have the majority, and that's why Netanyahu is in this terrible position. It became mainstream to condemn Israeli policies and Netanyahu personally. In other words, the regime thought he was too right-wing. He was instituting religious policies, which is out of the question, even for the regime. Of course, they apologized for him, and now they certainly are. But it was not that long ago. So the claim is that not only has Israel supported Hamas financially, I suppose, no one really says anything about weapons so far. I find that very hard to believe. But that it permitted this invasion with the purpose, that there are a few purposes, I'll get into them in more detail, but ultimately to unify the country under Netanyahu, put him in a much better light as a victim, and destroy what's left of the economy of both the West Bank and the Gaza Strip. But it just so happens that a few months ago, an invasion of the West Bank by the Israelis put these open-air prisons, which is what they are, unemployment rates of like 70% in both places, wildly overcrowded, and treated like animals, as we know the Israeli defense minister says that they're animals. That's been Israeli policy from day one. I mean, the Irgun and the Jewish Resistance League said the same thing back in 1946-47. And the world had a microscope on Israeli policies and killing children, the civilians, collective punishment, sometimes in the nastiest way. There's nothing worse than what's going on in Gaza now. So people like Robert say, we don't have an explanation for this attack. Does this, in fact, play into Israel's hand? One of the questions he asks is how many of these rockets, these weapons, in fact, Hamas has created its own weapons factory in densely populated areas. They create their own Qassam rockets and their launchers. You know, these aren't amateurs here. He says maybe this has a 9/11 flavor to it, that Israel's security forces completely dropped the ball for a few hours. Is this all too convenient to be believable? And he says another motive may be that this war may widen, and hence Israel can grab the water resources of South Lebanon, or even move on Syria and or Iran. Point is, it would free Netanyahu from his legal and political problem. But there was a security failure. It seems, according to him, to be an Israeli operation from the beginning. The claim that he makes, that is, Israel infiltrates Hamas, well, that I is probably true. Although, you know, figure 50 years of fighting a war against Israel may have given them some education on how to spot an agent. And he says, well, you know, they've infiltrated Hamas just as the FBI infiltrated Trump supporters, which is a tough comparison to make. And the claim is that Israeli agents play up Israel's abuse of the Palestinians as if they need to be reminded. I mean, they're there already. And then Netanyahu does something like blowing up the mosque. And this is where the attack plan comes from. And the border fence is very suspicious. But let me give you my response to a lot of this. I think the theory that Netanyahu encouraged the Hamas invasion, if not created Hamas entirely, for his own political purposes, is a stretch. He would have to be an idiot. The other motive given is that this is a way that Israel can split Hamas in the Palestine Authority in the West Bank. And this is one of the reasons that Israel has supported Hamas, with those two different sets of arguments. The first is that they supported Hamas, and therefore Hamas is an Israeli creation, which is a big leap right there. And number two, that they permitted this invasion. Those two things may be related, they may not be. We'll get into the details of that. But those are two different things. Any money going for the reconstruction of Gaza really went through both Qatar and the UN. But certainly no one has made the claim that the Hamas's military wing has been supported by anyone, at least no one in the Western world. You know, for decades I've made accusations like this to many governments, especially the American government. Governments create controlled chaos all the time. But I wonder, and again, this is an early date, I wonder if this is one of them. And my objections right off the bat is centered around the assumption that the Palestinians, according to this theory, have no agency, they have no autonomy, and they have no competence. They're depicted as hapless thugs, tools of the elites, without Hamas or PA having any idea what's really going on. It's almost as if 50 years of experience in guerrilla warfare against Israel has not taught them to discover weaknesses in Israeli security. Israel is not all-powerful, especially today. The theory implies that it is. I think Hamas gains far more than Israel does, and everyone's pointing the finger at Netanyahu anyway. So he's either an idiot or the theory is false. Now, stockpiling weapons is no big deal. Palestinians have been smuggling weapons for a million years. It's a problem that every counterinsurgency in the world has had to face. But Gaza is on the coast. It's a little bit easier to get to. Israel doesn't have to be traversed by land. Smuggling has been going on for God knows how long between the Strip and Egypt. And Egypt has played a role an unpopular role, but a role in enforcing the embargo that Israel put on the Gaza Strip after Hamas won the elections there in 2006. So it is very curious. On the one hand, the wars since then, the Hamas-Israeli wars, this is like the fifth since 2006. No one's made this accusation prior to that, by the way. This is the first time this accusation has kind of become mainstream almost. They blockaded the economy. They shut down water, electricity, and everything else, but at the same time, somehow gave money to Hamas. I mean, if they wanted to support Hamas, all they would have to do is lift the blockade. Any money that Israel claimed came from them was at the insistence of both the Saudis and the Qataris, among many others, the Turks possibly as well. And Israel's not going to alienate all of them, which, of course, they've already done with this. Taking action against weapons caches in Gaza is a very dicey thing. Again, they've been doing this for a very long time. Hamas knows exactly how to evade Israeli intelligence and Israel. I mean, the thing that they're just street thugs is idiotic. But even if you could make a case, it's very difficult to see how the Zionists at any level would permit Hamas to become this powerful. I mean, divisions among Palestinians, just like divisions among Jews, is a normal state of affairs. Comments that Netanyahu has made in support, quote-unquote, of Hamas, he's made those in public. So any attack from Hamas, the finger's going to point to him. This hasn't been secret. He said it to the Knesset. Right now, about 80% of Israelis point to Netanyahu as the cause and the failure of this war. He not only has gained nothing, he's lost whatever he had. No one can end the Palestinian problem. Occupying Gaza and the West Bank is a nightmare. Israel's security services are stretched so thin right now, especially over the last year. There is no way. A war of attrition is something that Israel will really struggle. Gaza's already at fifth world status. Doesn't have to be. So they don't lose anything. Hamas, Hezbollah, they've been studying Israeli defenses for decades. They've been obsessed with the border fence. Hamas is literate, it's educated, it's sophisticated, and has a fairly well-funded backing, both abroad and locally. They are the administration of the Gaza Strip. So the theory that somehow Israel is behind this, it implies that Hamas has no intelligence, has no capability to detect agents. But Hamas does have two missions: to feed the population of Gaza, number one, and number two, to probe for weaknesses in the Zionist defenses. The assumption of this theory is that they had no capacity to do that. They don't need Israel. They never needed Israel. Hamas attacked in this way just a few months after the Israeli invasion of the West Bank. Gaza has nothing to lose here. There's very little to lose with an unemployment rate of 70% and very, very low stocks of fuel or any power of any kind. If you're going to attack Israel and possibly permit other, Hezbollah and other groups to do so as well, this would be the time when the government is extremely unpopular. But ruling over a population of 3 million angry Arabs, armed ones and fairly sophisticated ones, this is something that Israel simply can't afford to do. Permitting them to function, though, is a very different story. Same time, Israel has assassinated at least, seven leaders since 1996. About 1,500 operatives from Hamas have been killed since roughly, at least since 2006. Their leadership is always undermined by assassinations. Starting in 1996, Yahya Ayash, Ehud Eichel, Salah Shinaidi, Ibrahim Madakhme, so many others. Ahmed Yassin, Abdel Rantisi, that was in 2004. They're not exactly a friend here. Now, ISIS is most certainly a Western creation. They operate in a far more obvious way. They refuse to attack any Zionist entity. They only attack opponents of Israel in the U.S. Hamas attacks Israel every day, could. ISIS has a fleet of oil tankers that it raised overnight. Hamas couldn't possibly do anything like that. Hamas is a guerrilla force, of course, while somehow ISIS became a regular army overnight. Neither Russia nor China has accused the U.S. of, or the Israelis of backing or creating Hamas, but they certainly say that when it comes to ISIS. I mean, Israel couldn't figure out that Hezbollah may also mobilize? I mean, Hamas is self-financing. It never needed Israel's assistance, even benign neglect. Now, there was a report from the Times of Israel that came out not too long ago, October 8th of this year. And it says this. It says, Hamas was treated as a partner to the detriment of the Palestine Authority to prevent Abbas, the head of the Palestinian Authority, from moving forwards, creating a Palestinian state. Hamas was promoted from a terrorist group to an organization with Israel conducting negotiations via Egypt, which was allowed to receive suitcases containing millions of dollars from Qatar through the Gaza crossing. Now, this isn't to say that Hamas hasn't had uses for Israel, but they don't recognize Hamas as an organization. I mean, they do de facto, but if they need Egypt to be the go-between, then they're not negotiating with them. Money coming from Qatar is nothing new. We'll explain that in just a minute. Money that came from the Arab states, whether it be through Egypt or Israel, was to relieve mass famine. And Israel wouldn't do it unless the Gulf Sheikhdoms can guarantee peace from Hamas. I mean, Israel sent weapons to Iran in the 1980s. Well, that's because Israel wanted their two rivals to destroy each other. The United Nations spent about $5 billion on the Gaza Strip since 2014. So if you're going to impose a violent blockade on the place, but send the money at the same time? The policy works across purposes. Israel destroys the Gaza economy, but sends money to Hamas. And that tracing that money is very difficult to show. Under pressure, Israel restored Gaza's single power plant on the coast. Any money sent was backed by the Gulf Arabs. People quote the 2019 statement. Now, again, this is a public statement. This is allegedly something that Netanyahu said. I think this is now mainstream. Anyone who wants to thwart the establishment of a Palestinian state has to support bolstering Hamas and transferring money to Hamas. It's part of our strategy to isolate the Palestinians in Gaza from the Palestinians in the West Bank. Now, the problem here, of course, this is a public statement. If he's saying this outright, then anything Hamas does automatically points to him. But really, the only thing Israel would have to do is just lift the embargo. If he sent money, he made a public statement of it. Does that make any sense? Why announce it? Hamas administers the Gaza Strip, so Israel doesn't have to. In 2005, they completely disengaged from the area. And no one even made the claim that this went to the military wing. Netanyahu's policy is to rely on Hamas to keep Gaza from rebelling. It is an open-air prison. And this permitted Tel Aviv to focus on the West Bank settlement movement, the so-called judicial reforms, to enable annexation, all the rest of it, raiding Palestinian cities and refugee camps. It can no longer rely on the Palestine authorities to control it. Hamas was a better bet. So while the so-called wardens were looking the other way, the prisoner organizations in Gaza put their carefully concealed plans for a revolt into effect. It's true, Israelis tried to prevent, through Hamas, prevent humanitarian catastrophes that it itself created. It had an interest in keeping the bureaucrats paid. And Hamas did keep a lid on Islamic Jihad and a few others. This is why the Likud really doesn't mind Hamas, you know, under strict limits. But that's a far cry from claiming the invasion was somehow permitted. Israel further, you know, just in the 2008-2009 war, tens of thousands of homes were destroyed by Israel. 15 of Gaza's 27 hospitals were damaged, if not destroyed. About half the population was without electricity and running water. Really no different than today. But is Netanyahu even correct? Hamas and the Palestine Authority are not eternal enemies. Hamas accepted negotiations, even with Israel, over the 1967 border restoration, because it agreed from 2005 to 2007 in certain policy areas with Fatah or the Palestine, the old PLO party name. They're not total opposites or constant enemies. Hamas had every intention of renouncing violence. In 2006, they said, we'll refrain from any attack on Israel if Israel was to desist from its offensive against Palestinians. Even the Islamic agenda was dropped in their election campaign. So as far back as, 10 years ago, Mahmoud Abbas said that there is no real differences between Hamas and Fatah. They had a joint political platform. And in Al Jazeera, there was an interview with Abbas where he talks about this period of calm and peace between us to unify the Gaza Strip and the West Bank, even agreeing on, peaceful resistance against Israel, etc. The resurrection of a Palestinian state along the 1967 borders, all that. Of course, Israel refused to stop the settlement constructions, but this doesn't mean that the PA and Hamas were ever really, except, when they were first elected, were constant enemies. They had their divisions just like anyone else, but they did far more cooperation starting in 2012 than they were fighting one another. I mean, Hamas offered Israel a 10-year truce in return for a complete withdrawal from the Palestinian territories. They had withdrawn from the Gaza Strip, but they added West Bank and East Jerusalem to that. They're not incorrigible militants. And all of this flies in the face of the theory that somehow this Hamas was backed to maintain the divisions between the two occupied territories. I mean, the Palestine Authority was getting money from the Americans. Hamas dealt with the social services on the Gaza Strip. They were useful for internal security. But it certainly doesn't argue that Tel Aviv armed them and permitted an invasion. Even the border wall itself is not all-powerful. It's long. Millions of Gazans have been watching it for a very long time. It's like prisoners. Prisoners constantly search for weaknesses among the prison guards. So has almost the entire population, who really has nothing else to do, been worried about the IDF as well as the fence. I mean, now Netanyahu's political fate is over. It's sealed. But where were the Israeli forces in that part of the fence? It is heavily manned and heavily guarded. Well, it's true that, as I said before, Israeli security services are stretched to the breaking point now. There was a Sukkot celebration in the West Bank, the northern part of the West Bank in the Yitzhak region. This is one of the places where Israeli settler violence has been increasing massively. The IDF reprisals have been extremely violent. So this very militant Jewish celebration required tremendous security. So the local military authorities in the West Bank, with the approval of Netanyahu, ordered two of the three battalions, coming down to maybe 2,000 soldiers total, that protected the border with Gaza, to shift their focus to the West Bank. The massive increase in settler violence has stretched the security services razor thin. Even these reservists, they have to be rapidly trained in this kind of warfare. While Hamas is quite experienced, certainly Shin Bet would have foreseen this. Security concerns in Israel have gone way up over the last 2 years. Hence, the invasion came at the worst possible time. I mean, the hospital attack clearly coming from the Israel. I mean, Israel did this for every war against Hamas since 2006. I don't know why this would be any different. Apparently, the media are screaming that Hamas bombed themselves, but no one takes that seriously. And none of it benefits Netanyahu anyway. I mean, it implies that Netanyahu's a moron. I mean, he couldn't possibly consider the notion that this wild gamble can go wrong. He never thought this attack would look suspicious. I mean, he's going to have to answer for all of these dead Israelis. As of yesterday, the Israeli death toll is about 2,500, with an admitted military death rate of so far of 500. That's there, so you figure it's like maybe 1,000. Oh, in the past, just a few rockets over the border were sufficient for an attack on these areas. They didn't need an invasion for that. And the criticism of Israel and Netanyahu has only increased over the last 2-3 weeks. He was well aware there would be no rally around the flag effect. The divisions have increased. Because even militants in the Zionist camp are claiming that he is now a failure. So his very fragile coalition may come apart here. Israel doesn't need the incredibly risky gamble of an invasion, especially with hostages. Remember, you know, this isn't a country. These aren't two countries fighting each other. It's an armed camp, a refugee camp, fighting a highly militarized state. They didn't have to create a Fatah invasion to occupy the West Bank and level it, cutting off electricity and water, which they've done on Gaza. Wasn't the case in the West Bank just a few months ago. Now, as of right this second, Israel has not entered the Gaza Strip because any war of attrition is going to drain this already very drained country. If anything, it's going to embolden the enemies of Israel. This is very good news. But I think more than anything else, it renders Hamas just these street thugs. They accept the Israeli propaganda that this is just third world. Nonsense. I mean, the truth is, as of now, the Gaza Strip is virtually uninhabitable. They have nothing to lose. The land is so contaminated that the UN declared it to be unable to sustain life. You don't have fresh water there. So because of the aquifer, there's an aquifer that seawater is pulled into Gaza's taps. Israel takes the fresh water. Israel forbids fishing in the area, 20 nautical miles at most. A buffer zone, and a third of Gaza's agricultural land has been taken over by Israel anyway. The settlers do the rest. So Israel steals Palestinian water, land, and now gas. Gas that Israel's Supreme Court once ruled belonged to the Palestinians, which is one of the reasons why Netanyahu wants to get rid of the Supreme Court, or at least render his government capable of vetoing it. Even the UN in 2021 demanded that Israel end its theft from the Gaza Strip. And yet, it sends money to them. Well, we know why they sent money to them. And certainly, if this was the case, he certainly wouldn't have announced it to the Knesset. Israel has always and will always maintain Hamas as a terrorist entity, as does the U.S. But Hamas has followed international law far more closely than Israel ever has. One more time. Gaza loses nothing here. There's nothing more that you can do to it. The protests against Israel are nonstop. These are hardened, experienced fighters. And yet, just a few months ago, you had Israeli draftees refusing to follow orders. Most in the West don't even realize what Israel has done, not just in Gaza, but in the West Bank. Hamas has been forced to the wall and was left little choice. It brought its situation to world attention by doing what they did. They know that they really can't win in an open battle, hence hostages. But that's old news. The Israelis did that in the after World War II in Palestine. There was nothing particularly interesting about that. That's what a guerrilla group has to do. The Vietnamese did it all the time, to the cheers of the American media. The only way that Israel could have given money to them is through the Arabs for the sake of Gaza being ruled by Hamas. They're stable, they're popular, they're considered incorruptible, and they're not morons. That makes a lot of sense. But since when does Israel need an invasion? They just have to throw a few rockets over. That's all they need. This has brought so many of the criticisms of the Zionist entity to light. Even mainstream publications are forced to admit things that they wouldn't have admitted 5 years ago. Now, it may be the case that more information will come to light. It's my normally, you know, an argument I make all the time, especially in the ISIS case. But some of our people make this argument no matter what. That the Taliban, the Iranians, everyone is an agent of the regime. And it's just not true. It creates this false picture of the all-powerful regime, and even token resistance is created by it. The Israelis had any favorable opinion of Hamas, they wouldn't be condemned in the newspapers every single day. Gaza Strip is a trap for Israel. It's a million times worse than Northern Ireland. Everything in the regime seems to be unraveling. The Ukrainian war is now being deprioritized. The U.S. is promising weaponry to Israel that it doesn't have. Biden is claiming to have opinions about this stuff, even though he doesn't know where he is. He's simply being told what to do. The U.S. has run out of items like artillery shells, anti-air missiles to give away. There is no way Netanyahu benefits from this. Not only from the Israeli left, but from the Israeli right as well. And anyone could have predicted this from the beginning. The U.S. is completely unprepared, really incapable of any military action, certainly when they have to be stretched so thin. They're trying to pick a war with Russia, trying to pick a war with Taiwan, and now in the Middle East. Who's going to do this fighting? And what about Russia and China in this respect? What about Syria in this regard? The U.S. couldn't win in Somalia or Afghanistan. They were kicked out of Iraq. Who's going to be doing this fighting? They're talking about doubling the U.S. defense budget, adding a whole $1 trillion to defense spending, money that does not exist. That's that idiot, the outgoing the chair of the Joint Chiefs, Miley, who is one of the beneficiaries of the mass purges of the U.S. military from the Obama administration on. This has destroyed any sense of Israeli victimhood. God, they were using hang gliders. That's their air force. But the more Israel bombs the Gaza Strip, the more that people are going to notice this. I've said for a long time that the new Khazaria project was a way to get out from under. And yet that's been thwarted by Russia's invasion for many other reasons besides that. Well, the U.S. just can't increase military production. It doesn't matter. Even if they had the money, they couldn't do this. After 20 years, the Americans failed to defeat the Taliban. And why would they do differently against Hamas or Hezbollah? Hezbollah already defeated the South Lebanon Army 20 years ago. Israel couldn't have figured this out, that this may happen. They do have tremendous arsenals. This is what happens when you have nothing else to do. This is what prisoners do all day long. They're making shivs. This is just the military equivalent of that. And just like in a prison, the Israelis are wildly outnumbered. Any move by Hezbollah will mean that northern Israel will be destroyed. Rain of missiles. Yeah, there may be old Soviet models, but it doesn't matter. They work. There's not much Israel can do. The last time Israel invaded Lebanon, Hezbollah stopped Israel, just a few hundred miles inside the country. And at that point, some of you may remember this, I forget who it was, U.S. military, retired military man says the Israelis are no longer the best soldiers in the area. Hezbollah are. Remember, like the Taliban, these are hardened fighters. They live in refugee camps. They're extremely tough. There's no deprivation that they can't survive. And yet Israel is divided deeply over Netanyahu's attempt to defang the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court has often ruled against the settler movement. He's being forced to do this, but he gains absolutely nothing from this invasion. And it's a nightmare for the Israelis. Thank you, everyone, for listening. I will see you next week. Bye-bye.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.